Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we're going to do something really fun and cheery this week of shows, Patrick. So if there's anything you need to get out of your system, you'd better do it right now.
All right, here goes. F*** the golden youth.
Okay, Patrick, I know these have been stressful times. Stressful times for people, especially so right now. So we've got the pandemic, which has gone on and on. I think, you know, potentially a lot longer than people initially thought, right? Sure. And looks like it'll continue on for some time. For a lot of people, there's, you know, economic hardships. There's, you know, other kinds of strife in this country, at least. So it's just, it's been, I'm not telling people anything they don't already know, 2020's been a stressful year.
Yeah.
And then, on top of all of that, right now, this particular week, we are almost to election day, and so people are really on edge, right? What's going to happen with that? And we're not going to get into all that, but it's just, you know, understood. It's a crazy stressful time right now in America. So,
totally.
Earlier in the year, you thought one way we could maybe, you know, give somebody... maybe give our listeners a little bit of joy in their lives was to do a perfect pop week, right?
Yeah.
And we did that earlier this year where people made selections for songs that they think are perfect. And I think everybody really enjoys it when we bring that series back. And
absolutely.
And that last perfect pop week was back in early May.
Okay.
So
great.
We did that. So why don't we do it again this week? I think that would be a nice little... stress reliever. These are pretty, you know, short little episodes for this week, but you're going to get a couple, three songs each day and different people telling you why they think it's a perfect song. And, you know, we love music and we love the joy that music brings. And I think this series exemplifies that.
Totally, man. And, you know, I want to say thanks to you, Jim, for, you know, kind of crystallizing this concept. We talked about it early on. It's been a staple of our show. We've tried a lot of different things on the show. Some work, some don't. And I love the ones that kind of hang around. So absolutely. This is one I would take right to the bank as one of the best ideas. And it's definitely your leadership and crystallization of this concept that makes it work.
This has worked out great. And we have a perfect pop playlist that is on Spotify. And we add to it as people make suggestions or as you and I make picks of songs. You know, it's not a song that you think is the most perfect song. It's just a song that you think is perfect. So you can have several of those in your own, you know, in your own mind, right? And so anyway, so we'll add more to that playlist as the week goes on. If I've organized this correctly, I think we're actually going to get 12 more perfect pop songs by the end of the week. All right. And also, you're going to hear celebrity guests make their picks.
So one, that's right.
One thing we do a lot of times when we interview musicians is at the end of the interview, we'll ask them to make a perfect pop pick.
Put them on the spot.
Yep. We then, you know, edit that part out of the interview that you hear when we do the interview proper, and we save it for a moment like this. So you're going to hear some musicians this week. You're going to hear some listeners who called in and made their picks based on, you know, the last time we did the series. Then, of course, it... you know, generates more interest. And then at the end of the week, you and I are going to make one more pick each, right?
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So this show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And before we get to the celebrity picks today, a couple other little things I want to do real quickly here. I want to mention that I got a CD in the mail from one of our listeners. He somehow found my home address. I should probably be worried about that, but no. He's somebody who's been to my house before. So Paul Trapp sent me a CD. Did he send one to your house?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to hold it up here for you. I'm going to read the little note.
Oh, gosh. That's great. I hope that's on the way. Yeah,
I'm
going to
read
really
the little
do.
Note here. He says, just finished our fifth consecutive Halloween playlist for our kid who is no longer in the Peace Corps. So Paul used to make these Halloween discs and send them to his adult child who's in the Peace Corps.
Yep.
So anyway, he's no longer in the Peace Corps in the jungles of Panama, but now in grad school in North Carolina and still in need of seasonal tunes. Okay?
There you go.
And then he says a copy of that CD is enclosed here. And I'm showing it to you on the camera here, but it is 21 songs that are somehow related to Halloween. This is called Halloween 2020. You know, some more obvious than others. I think it's some of them he takes some creative license here, but it's always fun to see the eclectic mix. He gave us earlier versions of these before.
He did.
And
they're so good.
He mentioned some highlights here, so I'll mention those. He said highlights include R.E.M. R.E.M. Supernatural, Super Serious. He calls that Absolving a Seance Gone Wrong. And then he says The Wrecking Crew, here billed as The Fiends, amping up the Addams Family theme song with Hal Blaine on drums. So that's cool. And then there's also an Elvis and Elmo duet. I don't know how that's possible.
Well,
Elvis. Oh, I see how it's possible. It's Elvis Costello and Elmo.
Got it.
The song is A Monster Went and Ate My Red Too. Oh, I know what that is. That's a takeoff on the Angels Want to Wear My Red Shoes.
Yeah. So. Well, that sounds appropriately weird for 2020 because this is going to be one of the weirdest Halloweens we've ever experienced. So just stay inside and watch some horror movies, folks, and you'll be in good shape.
Okay. So I got that. And then one other real quick thing. I'm going to crack open this St. Archer Gold. I mentioned St. Archer Gold before on the show because I'm trying to drink more light beer, and I got this on clearance.
Yeah.
It's only 95 calories. And the reason I'm mentioning it again, they're not a sponsor, but I got a message today from listener Tom Neuerberg, who said he also has been drinking a lot of the St. Archer Gold. He's a big fan as well, and he sent me a photo. He's down to his last three. So he's nervous because we think it's been discontinued now. So this is it. I told him I bought up all the remaining stock because it was like half off.
All the East Coast stuff has been bought up by
you. I have a lot here. And if Tom, who lives out in California, if he wants to come out and join me, he can. He's welcome to. But I don't know.
What a good man he is. That makes me feel good. And I'm glad you guys are drinking that even after all those hippies went blind.
That's right. Oh, we are all over this. Okay. All right. Let's get to Perfect Pop.
Yeah, let's kick it off. I'm excited.
All right. We are first going to hear from the Beths. And we interviewed the Beths earlier this year. And they are Liz and John. And they were in New Zealand. We were able to connect with them. Things are much better down there in New Zealand. And we asked them the question about the perfect pop songs. And let's start with Liz. All right. So one thing we do on our podcast from time to time, we have a recurring segment where we ask people to name a perfect pop song, just something out there in the world that you think is perfect. And since, you know, you guys have a pretty close to perfect pop sound, I would say you guys would be experts on this. So what would each of you say if you could pick any song would be a perfect pop song?
This is hard.
A perfect pop song has got to be, it's got to grab you from the first instant and not really let your attention go.
That's right.
For the whole time.
Yep.
And I think that's probably the only rule, but there's some other rules. There's some don't do's, but you know.
That's pretty good though.
Can I say Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House?
Yes.
Yeah. So talk about that a little bit. Like why would you offer up that song?
I think it's just like Jonas says, like just that first riff. It's just so compelling. It's not like it's kind of a ballad, right? It's like, but I think that's a recurring thing that like often the ballad is the song that sticks around the longest, even for a hard hitting artist. I don't know. The song just like it just means so much. I think to a lot of people, it's got just like an amazing chorus, but also a really, really great verse. What is it? There's a battle ahead, many battles are lost. I don't know. It's like, it's like hopeful, but also sad. It's, and just like got Hey Now in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the thing that, it's got that octave jump. Like,
totally, man. Yeah.
It's so sing-alongable. In a way that makes you want to like come together with other people in a very Yeah.
That's true, man.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good breakdown.
Right? One, to high five your neighbor is, yeah, that's important.
Yeah. There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Hey now.
There you go. Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House. And the songwriter, of course, is Neil Finn, who is from New Zealand. So that makes sense for the Beths would gravitate maybe toward that song. But that was a huge hit song in the United States.
Yeah,
huge
totally.
Hit song, right?
Yeah. Even if you don't know who sang it or, you know, anything like that, when you hear, you know, the Hey Now, you know the song, right? It's everywhere. And I think, you know, a couple things. One, it sounded like I had a few drinks during that interview. Imagine that. And also, you know, Liz's statement about a ballad is interesting to me, right? And I'd love to hear what you think, Jim. But, it you know, maybe you're a band that is not a ballad band, or, you know, you're kind of major name on a different sound. But when you put a ballad on a record, it does... You know already when you make it, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb, right? So it should be really strong and it should be really catchy. And I thought that was a really interesting point she made, that they tend to hang around longer, you know, maybe because they are such an outlier, you know, or or they're bombastic, or you just went for it. But it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I don't know how I think about that exactly, because I mean, I know that's true a lot of times, and this song came out in the 80s, it was 87,
yep.
And it did reach number two, and I do remember in the 80s, a lot of, you know, rock bands would have great success with their ballad, right? Because they'd put, like, you know, maybe one ballad per side on an album,
yeah,
and use at least one of those as, like, a single, and it would, generally, the ballad would do well because it would get radio airplay, like, it was... generally kind of considered the safer choice, right?
Yeah.
It could be programmed on more than just like the rock station. It could get on the top 40 station or the easy listening station or whatever, right?
Soft rock all day long.
That's right.
For your workplace. Yeah.
Do well. But it's funny, but I didn't necessarily I usually, at least at the time, thought of those as more kind of like the songs they had to do rather than the ones they really wanted to do. But the thing I like about Don't Dream It's Over is I don't think of it in that same way. Like, to me, it's not that Crowded House and before that Split Ends were ever, like, you know, kind of hard rock bands. So to me, this was just sort of a natural, it felt completely normal, like what you would expect them to play. And it also doesn't have that, there's nothing like sappy about this song. It doesn't have that kind of like balladeer sort of quality to it, you know, or it, you know, it's
just a slower song, which is just cool. Yeah,
it's a slower song, but it has a nice groove to it. And I also think it's just really smart lyrically. Like, I like the flow of the song. It's called Don't Dream It's Over, but it has sort of a dreamy quality to it. It doesn't, even though there is a verse and a chorus, it doesn't feel that way. It just kind of naturally, the verse kind of flows right into the chorus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
There's almost kind of a not exactly, but there's almost kind of a talky quality to the verses too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just think it works because it's just a really interesting song. There's enough little interesting things in this song that you, even all these years later, still find it compelling. At least I do. And also, but yeah, at the same time, it's also like super memorable too. You know, it just,
right?
Like it sticks in your heads. It's a great earworm kind of song too. So,
We could go on and on about this for a long time, but it's interesting in the song creation process. At what point do you decide the song sounds better slower, than it does faster? Why is it better as a gentler song than it is a rock and roll song? Like, who knows? Like,
right.
And that's where, you know, we get into the fact that covers are really interesting. You know, and some people speed them up and slow them down. And so it's a whole world. But man, that's a great choice. I mean, obviously, just based on the conversation it sparked here. And like you said, her songs. Wow, what a cool choice.
OK, let's move on to John's pick.
Yeah.
So now this one is going to require an explicit label on this episode. OK,
that's
there's
right.
No way to silence this in such a way to make it G-rated. So just be prepared if you got kids in the car or whatever.
Cover their ears.
Save this for later, okay? Yep. All right, let's hear from John from the Beths. Jonathan, did you have anything?
What's the podcast's position on swear words?
We'll take care of that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think... I've always thought this song by the Mint Chicks, Fuck the Golden Youth, it's a perfect pop song. And it's so great. You like, take a completely different tack to Liz and just pick something that's really outside of music, but ticks all the boxes for what is a perfect pop song.
That's a great call.
just like, it's so, you cannot look away from that song, you know? For a second, it just demands your attention from the first to the last, and it doesn't let up. And then it actually does follow the rules. You know, it's got three choruses. It says the title "Golden Youth" several times in the chorus. Yep. The verses have a build, and they're kind of mostly what you'd call pre-chorus. So you always feel like you're anticipating the chorus.
Right.
Just does all the things that you're kind of by the book supposed to do, as well as being batshit insane and completely not something you've heard before.
Right.
Back around the edge, I just think it ticks all the boxes up. But.
All right.
Man, that's a great shout. Round out.
Excellent. Yeah.
Mic drop. All right.
Okay, there you go. The Mint Chicks. I am not familiar with the Mint Chicks, but I know you are, so you're going to educate me, right?
Yeah, I mean, kind of a whatever generation we're on now in New Zealand rock band, and pretty recent. I was looking for this. I know I have it somewhere. I couldn't find it, but, they take some of the tenets of the classic Flying Nun stuff and mix it in with their own influences a little bit, and I can... You know, to me, it's fascinating that this would be the pick based on what Liz said. And it really kind of shows the best approach, right, to both sides of this. But another cool, hardworking New Zealand band. And, similar to a bunch of bands that are over there right now. And I think, you know, Nick had educated us all on, you know, recent Flying Nun bands, and Nick Scalera, our good friend, and he's kept all that up. But, you know, there's so many Flying Nun songs that could be its own side pot category of perfect pop for sure. And you know, that one has hardcore elements into it, you know, and yeah, also melody, which is
totally
great. Yeah.
It's totally melodic. It's very poppy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I love that it has that one part that you hear where it sounds like all the instruments are like playing out of sync or something. You
know? That's great.
Like everybody's just kind of doing their own thing for 5 seconds, and then it comes back, you know?
I love that about songs. I mean, I love songs that like are regimented, yet in one of the regimented sections, it's completely free. Like just for the next 30 seconds, just freak out. Doesn't matter what we do, just freak out, then all stop together. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Very, very cool. All right.
Yeah. Fascinating. And hopefully, you know, I think the best has been kind of a great discovery for our community, and a lot of people have been turned on by it. So I hope people really appreciate this one too. It's cool to get inside their minds a little bit.
So that is the Mint Chicks, and that was from 2005. Mm-hmm. They're out of Auckland, New Zealand. All right.
There you go.
Excellent. So there's two more that go on the playlist.
Added to the list.
They sound very different, yet I think they're kind of similar in some ways too. So,
and they fit. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. All right, cool. Tomorrow we're going to do another celebrity guest. All right?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm
not going to tell you who that is right now. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow. All right. All right. And of course, we can do Perfect Pop weeks in the future. Mm-hmm. So if listeners out there have any suggestions they'd like to make, more songs to add to the playlist, then what you should do, we have to hear your voice on this or you're not getting on the show. So you got two options here. One is to call. Just pick up the phone and call 612-440-1984. And then just leave a message there. All right? Yep. The other option is to record a voice memo, like on your phone or what have you, or your computer. Record a voice memo. It's easy to do. And then email that audio file to rock@suburbspod.com. Either way is totally acceptable. Get to us if you have any mix CDs or other, you know,
Halloween paraphernalia
gifts you'd like to send us, just in general. Don't send to my home address. Send to our P.O. box, which is what?
800. So address it to 800 West Broad Street, box 6577, Falls Church, Virginia 22040.
Do that. Or send St. Archer Gold, if
you'd like.
That's right. Okay. Now, let's get to tomorrow's show.
Sounds great.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Okay. It is great. And it's also, I'm not going to do that. Never mind.